the blood of Jesus. I first gave my life to Jesus in an Elim Pentecostal church when I was about 10 years old. Well, I say I first gave my life. It was at that point that I said the prescribed sinner's prayer and responded to the altar call. And just to make sure I was totally saved, I went up pretty much every week as a kind of belt and braces policy. Perhaps the reason for doing this was that I'd had a very profound sense of God from a very young age, around about 5 or 6, which is interesting, really, and I put down solely to the grace of God, because I lived in a very turbulent household. I had a very challenging childhood, and that's putting it mildly. There was certainly no Christian influence from my family, quite the opposite, in fact. There had been all sorts of demonic activity. I'm delighted to say that now my mother has since come to know Jesus and is baptized in the Holy Spirit and a wonderful woman of God. But as a child, when I would go to these services and I would hear talk of the blood of the Lamb and plead the blood, it always left me a little bit bemused. I fell away from God in my 20s, quite drastically. I was never really discipled, but I came back to him on bended knee at the age of 30, as I'd ended up in a bit of a spiritual pigsty. And for years, I served in the Air Force for 15 years, and for years I attended various RAF churches wherever I was serving, but I never really again heard talk of the blood of Jesus until I trained as an evangelist with the Elim Pentecostal ministry I was attached to on leaving the services. But during this time, I was serving in the mission field in various places, later on, including war-torn South Sudan. And to be honest, I really learnt the power in pleading the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. The fact is, the blood of Christ in Scripture is mentioned 5 times more than the cross of Christ. And yet it saddens me that for whatever reason, the blood is preached almost as little from our pulpits as the doctrine of hell. It's out of fashion in this politically correct world of ours. It's socially awkward. It makes people uncomfortable. Well, you know what? If I'd wanted to make people comfortable, I'd have trained as an air hostess. Interestingly, it is the blood of Jesus itself that saves us from the hell that is no longer socially acceptable to preach on, let alone believe in. But you know, there's one thing about the blood. It needs to be applied. In Exodus, I'm sure you'll know the story well, the people of God are called out of Egypt, and they were called to slaughter a lamb. But they were not saved from the angel of death when they killed the lamb. They weren't saved when they shed the blood of the lamb. They were only saved when they took that blood, and they got hold of it, and they applied it to the thresholds. They applied it to their households, and they were saved. The NHS advert to request blood donors has a slogan that says, "Give blood, save lives." Several times in Leviticus, God declares that the life of any flesh is the blood itself. In fact, that's why he directs the Israelites quite clearly not to eat the blood of any animal, because its life is in its blood. And this is clearly quite an important point, because it's repeated several times in the same chapter. In fact, the word blood appears in Leviticus 88 times. No wonder we don't hear that book preached on much these days. The very first mention of blood was in Genesis 4. It's quite interesting, actually. It was after Cain murders his brother Abel. Well, actually, the first shedding of blood was in Eden. After Adam and Eve sinned and were disobedient, God covered Adam.